You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are kicking off Act 2 here. We are having a great time. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite movie score? And for those of you that might not know, score is what the composer does. It's like the background music or like the Mission Impossible, dun, 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 dun. Not necessarily songs, but you can share songs too. But that's our question of the night. So join the fun and let us know what your favorite movie score is. In just a minute, Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar is going to join me here. And then author Laura Enright at 7:20. We are going to talk vampires and piggyback on Mary Pokorny Donlan's popcorn pick of the week, which was Sinners, an excellent choice. And I would be a terrible person if I didn't tell you all about our new Sconny Summer Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. Download the app because you need the app to play. Get the keyword and text it in right away, and you enroll yourself in the opportunity to win mass prizes. Listen throughout the day for your chances at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Text the keyword in and wait and keep your fingers crossed. The contest begins June 2nd, and it's very easy to do. You could win $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. That's every hour. And then our grand prize trips in the Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest are vacation time in either Door County or Baraboo. With gas money, ladies and gentlemen, the gas money, that adds up. We'll get you there, too. So four daily chances to win. Good luck, everybody. It starts June 2nd. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome one of our sponsors here at Nightlight, the very talented, very knowledgeable when it comes to cigars, certainly, Appleton Cigar co-owner, Norm Kopesky. Hey, buddy.
Thanks for having me on again.
You're such a big, burly guy. You look like you could, like, crush a beer can with your hands. And here I am wearing my Elton John Elton John readers tonight. They're red. What do you think of those?
Mine. Yeah. I just didn't bring them in.
You got sparkles on them and stuff like
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I'm not going to tell.
I have about 18 pairs of these around my house. I don't know what happened to my regular ones. But anyway, it's great to have you here. You have a really cool event. We talked about it a little bit last week. Let's just refresh people's memory about this awesome event, Smoke on the Fox.
Yeah, so Smoke on the Fox is our second annual multi-vendor event. We're hosting down at Lionsteel Brewery, downtown Neenah. And the nonprofit that we're sponsoring is Fox City's Veteran Council with Tim Cody. Tim's a longtime customer of ours, and he talked about what he was involved in. We're like, let's get on board with this.
Yeah. So
we're one of his sponsors with his golf outing coming up this week. And
it's your second annual.
Yeah.
Is anything different last year to this year, or are you just expecting bigger numbers pretty much?
Our bigger numbers, but we actually changed it up that we're doing better raffle prizes.
Oh, okay.
So we used to have kind of an auction at the event at the end of the event, which was a lot of fun. A lot of good laughs were cracked, but it was just one of those with the economy. The wells are a little bit dry. And
yeah.
So we thought, you know what, let's crank up the raffles and we'll just donate a portion of the ticket sales.
People love a good raffle. That's fantastic. All right. So June 2nd, Smoke on the Fox, Appleton Cigar, in accordance with Lionsteel Brewing in Neenah. It's a great event. Money goes to a great cause, helps veterans. Tim Cody is, was Tim going to be there?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he was here, he had too much to drink. Should I say that on the air? I would never say that about Tim. I don't even know if Tim drinks. Conrad, does Tim drink?
I have no idea.
Let's start a rumor.
As his bartender, I'm never going to tell.
Are you his bartender?
Yeah.
Norm, all right. So for people listening that, you know, that maybe haven't smoked cigars before, maybe ever, you know, I'm sure you get like a wide array of people. You probably get novices and you probably get experienced cigar smokers. So what do you tell people who have never smoked before?
Basically, just get one under your belt.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's okay. Can you help me understand what you didn't like about it? And then we can steer you maybe in a different direction. And so there's so many different varieties of palates.
Yeah.
People enjoy different foods, different beverages, and we can usually help you find something. So
is it the kind of thing where you get, like, is there a brand they should start with? Like, let's say people are just listening and aren't going to go to smoke on the Fox or can't make it or whatever. Is there like a type of tobacco they should start with or that beginners typically start with?
So typically what we start them with is something that has less nicotine content.
Okay.
So going old school, like if when we were kids, if we got caught with a pack of cigarettes, our dad probably would have made us smoke the whole thing, right? Turn us green. We never touched the
stuff. And get you addicted to smoking.
Right. Well, yeah. That's the nicotine. So tobacco naturally has nicotine. There's no additional nicotine added to it like what's in cigarettes.
Okay.
And so it's an all-natural product that... So the lower the nicotine content, the less likely you are to turn green because of it. And that's usually what most people find objectionable about
cigars. Okay. And you don't, like, you don't inhale cigar smoke.
No.
Typically. I hope not.
Not on purpose.
So, right. So you don't, the addictive thing isn't really there with cigars, right? I mean, I know a lot of people, I love the way they smell. Mm-hmm. I like the way cocaine smells. I'm kidding. That's an old joke. I just outed Tim Cody as a boozer and myself as a cokehead. But that's the old joke. I don't do cocaine. I just like the way it smells. Anyway, all right. Well, it's a rough night here. Okay. So, but it's not something that you can like, could you, you smoke a lot of cigars. You know your stuff. Could you stop smoking tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. That's interesting.
Yep.
All the more reason why people should try it, right?
I think so. I mean, a lot of what drives it is the social aspect. There's not a whole lot of solitary, like, smoking a cigar by themselves kind of people.
Yeah.
So it's part of the experience of mowing the lawn or running a barbecue or...
Fishing or poker. Fishing. Yeah, exactly. Do you have guys that play poker in your shop?
We do. We have a standing Tuesday night game of Texas Hold'em.
Oh, man. What are the hours for that?
Game starts at 7, and usually we stay open late till about 11:30.
Conrad, I'm putting in for a vacation day next Tuesday.
I'll join you.
Giving you a heads up. I've had bad luck with the card games. Like, I'd go to a bar where they're doing it, but then they crank like headbanging music and they have rebuy-ins and all that kind of stuff. And I was so annoyed. I went all in hoping to lose to get out of there because it's hard to find a good game, at least where I live.
Right. So we try to run a friendly game. So it's tournament style. It's one buy-in, no rebuys.
Okay.
The table takes home all the winnings. The house doesn't touch anything.
How many people usually get?
Anywhere from 9 to 14.
Nice.
On average.
Okay. Oh, good to know. Okay. I want to make very clear, too, Tim Cody is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He has no problem. He has no problems with anything. I was making a joke, but I do have a serious cocaine problem. Okay. Norm, I'm kidding.
I figured. I saw
I don't want you to, like, okay. All right. But I do love a good cigar. If you like cigars or if you're curious, check out Appleton Cigar. They run a great business. It's a great, and this event is excellent. Where can people get tickets, Norm?
AppletonCigar.com.
Okay.
Easy as that.
Simple enough. And how many people are you anticipating? Do you know?
About 150.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is there a price that gets you into the event, or is it pay as you go? How does that work?
There's two options. There's Toro and Toro Grande. Toro is our entry level package.
Okay.
That gets you into the event. 14 cigars, three drinks with Lion's Tail, and then Toro Grande is 20 cigars and 4 drinks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, and you told me last time you were here you like coffee.
Yeah.
With your cigar, I thought that was so cool and kind of a natural thing, right? Because you got coffee beans, tobacco.
That's right. Yeah.
Your wife is with you, and I'm not gonna put her on the air. Heather, you're fine off camera. But does your wife smoke cigars?
She will on occasionally.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And what does your wife like to? It feels weird that I'm asking you, and I can see her in the peripheral here.
Right.
What is Heather like with her cigars?
Her preferred is a Plasencia Alma Forte and Jameson Black Barrel.
Nice.
So nice Irish whiskey.
Well done, Heather. That's fantastic. All right, so check out Smoke on the Fox, a great event. Happens June 2nd, folks. And it's, what are the times again, Norm?
6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m. Great ticket packages. Go to appletoncigar.com if you're interested. And I could just tell you, folks, I've been in my share, not a ton of cigar shops, but it's just a great atmosphere, and it's something to be experienced. And why not jump in feet first with Smoke on the Fox, the second annual.
That's right.
Smoke on the Fox. And you like the progress? It's going to keep going?
Like the progress. We like what it's doing for the community. So more about that than anything. So
that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you being here, Norm, and I appreciate you. We were going to do this tomorrow night, but you said you prefer to do it in person.
It's a little easier for me to talk when I see who I'm talking to.
I totally get it. And I, you know, we probably could have kept you for a little longer tomorrow, but I really appreciate, I know you live a ways away, and that's awesome. So I have to ask you something else. You have, does the name Norm make you the kind of guy people want to smoke a cigar with? It's a great cigar smoking name.
Yeah, yeah. So I, growing up, I always got the Cheers reference.
Yeah.
And so I kind of always wanted the bar. And so
Nice.
just from that, there was a little bit of a touchstone there. And so I it's fun walking into the lounge and when it's open and ready and our regulars are all in there and they shout it out.
They do say it like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I was going to do that, but I figured you've heard that so many times in your life, it would be like old hat.
It's,
you know?
No, it's fun for me.
It's a great name. It's Norm. It's like a cool like guy's name, and it's a classic name too.
Yeah, very old school.
Can you? How do you feel about doing a quick movie score quiz?
Let's try it out.
All right, Conrad, you ready?
Yeah. So it's not just scores. It's also there's a couple movies that have the songs.
Oh, okay.
That they're really recognizable. So.
All right. So we've got five questions.
Five. Yes.
All right. We've got Norm Kapaski in studio from Appleton Cigar. Check out appletoncigar.com. He'll set you up. He'll even tell you what you should drink with your cigars, folks, because there is an etiquette to this. And he's going to take our Nightlight movie score quiz. Norm Kapaski, Conrad, number one, if you please. You know it?
Pretty sure this is Indiana Jones.
It is not.
No, wait, don't tell me. Yeah. It's not E.T. Oh, God. Do you know it, Heather? God, how is this bothering? All right, go ahead.
Marty McFly?
Oh, Back to the Future. Oh, now I get it. All right. So Norm and I are taking this together. We'll do this, and we're 0-for-1. We'll even putting our heads together. All right, number two.
This is a song.
Okay. I know this one. Bill Murray.
Oh,
Chevy Chase.
Caddyshack.
Norm is on it. Do we get the ding? What happened to the game show one?
Well, I'm using the same program, so I can't use them at the same time.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna get ready. We'll do it in stereo. All right, we're 1-for-2. Norm got that one. Caddyshack. We missed on Back to the Future. I felt like I should have got that one too.
Here's the next one.
All right, number three. I know it. I'm giving Norm a hint, but I'm not giving him the answer.
I'm going to go Home Alone.
Yeah!
Yes!
Double bells. All right, baby. That's in stereo. Norm Kapaski is 2-for-3, ladies and gentlemen. We both missed the first one. Number four.
We don't got time for another one.
What? All right, we'll have to end it there. 2-for-3. That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
Are we out of time already?
Yeah.
I blame you, Conrad. All right. Hey, thanks, you guys. Thank you. Norm Kapaski. Heather Kapaski. Didn't want to say anything. I didn't renege, right? All right, we're coming right back with author Laura Enright. We're going to talk vampires. Check out Smoke on the Fox. June 2nd, go to appletoncigar.com for more information. Have a great time, everybody. Thanks, Norm.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Is trying to tell me something, but we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know, I doubt it. Subterranean by design.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Every time I think of you, I feel a shot.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night of a short week, presumably. Hopefully you guys didn't have to work on Monday, but the weekend is right around the corner, and we are trying to get you there with some laughs and some insights into all things entertainment here at Nightlight. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite movie score? I said Midnight Run. I also love The Sting, and it's funny, during the break, before I brought Norm onto the show, he said Last of the Mohicans, and I have that written here too. That's one of my top five, Daniel Day-Lewis. Really phenomenal score. So I meant to bring that up with Norm when he was here in studio. He did quite well with our quiz. And so that's our question of the night. Let us know what your favorite movie score is. As we segue, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. I saw Sinners recently. I don't know that my next guest has. We sort of went back and forth, and I think she had yet to see it. But either way, she is the author of several books, all of which are very interesting on different topics. She's written about mobsters. She's written about the movie Meet the Parents and the journey that screenwriter Greg Liano went through with that film and getting it made through the studio system. And now Laura Enright, folks, joins us tonight to talk about vampires because she's written two books on the topic, and it is so great to have her back on Nightlight. Hey, Laura.
I have three books.
Three books?
Two fiction and one nonfiction.
No kidding.
That's the one that you still have to get.
So wait, nonfiction. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Vampires Most Wanted. This is that guy. Vampires Most Wanted. That's the nonfiction one. That has all the like trivia and stuff in it.
Okay. So I saw that on Amazon, and I noticed you sent me two other books.
I sent you this one. It was out of stock when I sent it to you.
No, I love getting free books, but I'm not. but explain the nonfiction part of it, because these are fiction books, and we'll talk about those as well. But when you write about vampires, which supposedly don't exist, how do you write nonfiction?
I wrote the book Chicago's Most Wanted, and it's a book of trivia about Chicago, and it's put out by Potomac Press. Well, Potomac Press asked me to write another one, and I thought, well, vampires. I was trying to work on vampire novels, so I said, I'll try this. Maybe I'll get my foot in the door with publishing the novels. So it's basically just like, each chapter is devoted to a particular thing. Like I do have movies in there. I have music. I have legends. And what I found as I was reading it was it's kind of amazing how much there is out there on the subject, if you dig.
Yeah.
It's really kind of fascinating. And we're sort of been trained to just think in terms of one particular or two particular style of vampires, but there's a whole world. They're there in like most cultures. So it was kind of interesting.
You mean the lore is there?
The lore.
Or the legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some people who do believe they're vampires.
You know, that I know there are. And I met, I don't know where it was a casting call or something, and they were in the next room, they were looking for actual vampires. It was a different project, probably a low-budget horror or something. But there were people that showed up with fangs. And, I assume they were fake. But they claimed to be vampires. And I was like in my early 20s at the time. I didn't want to ask questions. I was scared. I was like, are they going to try to bite me? Whether they're vampires or not, are they going to actually act like vampires? It was a little intimidating. What's been your experience? Have you ever met someone who claims to actually be a vampire?
No. I mean, I've met some energy vampires who sap your energy, but as far as some of the ones who believe they're vampires will go as far as getting implants, like.
Yes.
But it's, I think that was big, especially around the time of Anne Rice's books coming out. And it kind of gives people a chance who may feel on the outskirts of society or for whatever, it gives them a chance to feel included.
Right.
So, they, it's like anybody enjoying something. So they go with that. Yeah.
Well, these days, I mean, people claim to be whatever they want to be, and I don't care. It doesn't affect me, but that would be intimidating, though, I think, meeting someone with actual implants,
On the first date.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you left that off your Tinder profile, pal.
Yeah.
So where did the idea, and maybe you don't know this, and I don't expect you to be an expert. You wrote two great fiction books, but where is the idea of the vampire come from? Who started it? Do you know?
I don't know if anyone in particular started it. I think at the core of the vampire is the notion of the parasitic creature. and it needs to feed off others to live. And it could be blood, it could be energy. I don't know if you ever watched What We Do in the Shadows, the movie or the TV show.
A couple episodes.
The TV show has oh, it's fantastic. The TV show has an energy vampire in there. So it's like, you know, it could be that. The classic Star Trek did a story about a salt vampire where the woman had to suck salt to survive. Huh. So it's that kind of thing. And you see that, you know, and when it comes to blood, blood is so sacred in so many cultures and so many religions and thoughts and stuff that, of course, that really makes it. But I think it's more the notion you're going to have. Like, for example, what I discovered was a lot of the cultures like around the world, it was often about a cautionary tale. So don't do this or you'll turn into a vampire. Don't do this against society or you'll turn into a vampire, that sort of thing. Or you may be, you know, don't go into the woods because you might end up being caught by a vampire. So it's that they had one where if you did business over, I think it was in Greece, if you did business over a coffin, the person inside might turn into a vampire. So you see that a lot in a lot of the ancient legends and lore. You know, it's changed a lot over the centuries.
What kind of business do you do over a coffin? Was it like a...
maybe, I don't know, maybe paying for the coffin.
Gentleman's bet or something, yeah. All right.
He's getting out of that coffin if you don't pay for it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. Author Laura Enright is here on Nightlight spending some time with us. We are going to do the news, and then we are going to jump into her two vampire books, which are really cool. And that is all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. And we'll read your text, too. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you. I wanna cry, cry, cry. Pete Schwabe, this is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Tomorrow night on the show, Wisconsin Film Incentive advocate Rex Sykes will be here at 6:35. Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cusco will be here at 7:05, but he is going to talk about Andor. He just binge-watched both seasons. He's a huge fan, and we'll talk to Jimmy about that at 7:05. Always fun to talk TV with Jim. And then it is Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will not be here. She's taking a well-deserved vacation, but her partner at Max Inc. Radio, which you should listen to every Saturday night from 6 to midnight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Rocker will be here filling in for Terry. So a great show tomorrow night as well. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, author Laura Enright. She's a Chicago-based author who's written about the mob, written about the movies, and tonight we're talking about her three vampire books, but two fictional yeah. Vampire books. I'm holding the first one up here for those of you watching on the stream. It's called To Touch the Sun. Laura, tell us a little bit about this book. Was this your first book? I was looking at it before. Or is it your first vampire book?
It's my first vampire book.
Okay.
Yeah. It tells the story of a young man who from India who fought in the First World War and through what I call ferals, feral vampires. He's transformed into what is a sentient vampire. And it's kind of one of the things I always liked about the idea of vampires is exploring the sort of victim of circumstances idea. So what I wanted to people my books with were crazy vampires, intelligent vampires, you know, good, evil. You don't get a moral compass just because you turn into a vampire.
Right.
So I wanted to explore how this very ethical, moral young man has to then maneuver his life through his life. And at some point when the book starts, he's lost the woman that he's loved and has also been his food source. She's died. So now he has to go back to what he considers like pickpocketing. He doesn't have to kill the host, but he does have to feed, or, you know, nature forces him. So, that's kind of where that is at.
So All right. For those of us who are novices when it comes to vampires, what does that mean? Like, can you break that down a little bit? You got a feral vampire and a sentient vampire. Does and the main character's name is it Narain Khan?
Narain.
Okay. Khan. Does he come to? Is this set in Chicago?
It is.
Oh, so he's a he comes
when it
over.
Opens.
Okay, and so he's bit. Obviously, he's bitten.
Yeah.
And he becomes.
Oh, I forgot. He came to Chicago decades before he opened a restaurant.
Okay.
So. He's right. also a cook. So that was one of his dreams when he was younger. And the World War One kind of almost lost it on him. But then he was able to achieve it through this woman that he met, I think, in the 40s. And then when she died, by that time, he's had a really famous restaurant in Chicago.
Okay. So tell us the difference between a feral and a sentient vampire.
So a feral vampire is something that is it's just about feeding. It's like a shark. It's just about feeding. Okay. A sentient vampire can move among people. This is just something I termed, but you see it in other shows as well. You know, you see it in other things. But they can move among society and be okay. When I was researching Vampires Most Wanted, I was reading on the director of Nosferatu, and Murnau, and he I thought he stated that when he was in the war. They were sitting on the by the trenches, and they looked out over no man's land, and they saw these figures. But what he actually stated was he had listened to the stories of the people, the townspeople in, you know, nearby the trenches and stuff. But in my mind, I transformed it. So I thought it was the coolest idea to have these feral vampires just basically taking advantage of, because they were dead and dying in no man's land. A lot of times they couldn't go out and get the bodies. So, you know, because there's the snipers from each side. So I just thought that was a cool idea. And that's kind of what happened to Narain.
Totally. All right. And then I wanted to ask you, when you say food source to a vampire, is that some, I don't even want to guess because I'm just such a novice. So please explain that.
Basically just, you know, what he needs to, in my books, for example, it's a microbial disease. That takes over the body. So the microbes need the sustenance that they get from blood specifically.
Okay.
And a lot of tales are doing more and more scientific ideas when it comes to this, but that's kind of how it is. A food source, we discussed it earlier, food source can be, I remember the X-Files had an episode once of a guy who needed to suck fat out. he was speaking of dates. He would go on. He would get blind dates, and then he'd suck the fat out of the girl. So, that's basically the food source. And in my vampires, they don't suck them dry. There are some tales where they suck them dry, where they can't control themselves. Ferals, in my books, can't control themselves very well.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I think I remember that episode of the X-Files. To be honest with you, so. author Laura Enright is my guest. She's a Chicago-based writer and has written several books, and we're talking about two of her books tonight about vampires here on Nightlight. So where can people find – I love that title too, by the way, To Touch the Sun, which for vampires is a great conundrum there.
Yeah.
Where can
he
people find
sparkle,
that?
you can go to laura-enright.com, and I have links to the books on there, or you can get them on Amazon.
There places you can get them other than Amazon? Because I know some of our listeners are trying not to give more money to Amazon.
Yeah. I think unfortunately at this point they are a little older books. I think at this point it really Amazon is the only one who has them, unless you go to a bookstore
maybe
you can get them that way. But, you know, order them, special order them. The ones that I wrote those, the first one was 2008, I think it was published. And, oh, no, 2014. And the second one was 2000.
Yeah.
And so it was, but unfortunately, the publisher didn't last. It was a small publisher. So I now need to go find, because I have all sorts of other books, ideas for the series. So I have to find a new publisher.
I'm sure that's fun. I have to say, I feel like with, you know, the remake of Nosferatu that was out last fall and Sinners, that there's probably going to be a renewed, it's probably a cyclical thing, right? With vampires, we haven't heard from a vampire story in 5 or 10 years. Now they're back. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the second book. And I don't want to attempt to say this name, but here is
Jolly?
Ujjayi. Okay.
Ujjayi, yeah.
I'm holding
that's
it up.
That's the name anyway. That's a name. That's somebody's okay. name. It's hard. There's a little bit of a twist in there, but it's basically an act that Narain did after he turned into a vampire. He went back home. An act he did then has repercussions down the decades.
Okay.
And now he has to deal with basically the ghost coming back to haunt him, sort of thing. You know, that sort of
okay.
thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So look for these books, folks. How much research did you have to do? Like, you know, I'm a writer too. I think you know that. And a big thing with me and our mutual friend Greg, when we would write just movies, but yeah, I'm not smart enough to write a book. I just want to say that right now. I don't know how you do it. As a like movies, you have parameters and page marks you have to kind of hit, plot points, that kind of thing. The idea of writing a book to me seems so overwhelming. But do you have to make this plausible in any way? Do you create the parameters within this world since it's fantasy, a fantasy thriller? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, like for my own self even, I needed a grounded reason for vampirism. Okay. So once I decided it would be a microbial disease sort of thing, then I could take it from there. And then you have to world build basically about, you know, can all the tropes, can the sunlight hurt them? That's not in every tale, but yeah. In my tale it is. Other tropes that are found, do you want to use them? And if you do, how do you use it with the way you're building that world? So yeah, it could be like, I did a lot of research on World War I to get that idea right, to get the vibe right.
Right.
And actually it was really fascinating. I mean, we don't know enough about that war. I mean, as far as like, we're not taught enough about that war. It's a really fascinating war. Yeah.
Did you see what recent vampire films have you seen? Did you get to see Sinners or did you
see?
Oh, tell me your thoughts, please.
I thought it was fantastic. It was brilliant. You know what was interesting about it was, and I'm not giving really that much away, the vampires don't play a huge portion in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But you're still so sucked in by the filming, the directing. The music was fantastic. And there was actually even a poetry to the dialogue that I thought was, you're just so gripped by that. You're like, okay, I'll if you're a vampire fan or something, I'm like, okay, I'll go along for the ride and see what happens. And it does. It works great. It's fantastic.
It was so great. And you're right. The vampires... It's kind of fun because you know it's coming, but they do make you wait, and it's kind of a long, I think it's over 2 hours, but I wonder if they added that scene, like, and again, this isn't really a spoiler, but at the beginning, a kid comes into a church covered with blood, holding a guitar, and his dad is the preacher, and he has these flashbacks where you know horrible things happen, and then you don't see the vampires for like an hour. And I wonder if the studio made them put that in just to say, hey, something's on the way here, and it's pretty creepy.
They might have. I remember when I watched it, I was like, it was such an excellent storytelling device to get to the next deal. They might have decided that, you know, we got to put this in.
Absolutely.
Whet people's appetites.
What are some other things about vampires? Like, I love that they can't touch the sun, or not touch the sun, but be in the sun. And that's the great thing about Sinners. At the end, one of them says, I haven't seen the sun in however many years he's been alive. Yeah. I love that creepy, weird element. But also Sinners played into the idea that they had to be invited in, which I forgot about.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. That's a cool idea from legend, from lore.
Okay.
You also have something similar where the vampire, not in this movie, but the vampire can only feast on its relatives, sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
I love that idea that, you know, you can't let the right one in. Was that very same one? I don't know if you're familiar with that film. I think it was from Sweden. Yeah.
I did not.
It's a Swedish vampire film. Check it out. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. And that's where the title is from. Let the right one in. It's like the vampire in there has to request to enter the house of the person that she has befriended.
And it was so fun in Sinners trying to get them to get themselves invited.
I know.
We have someone listening on the stream. Deirdre Edwards says, Laura Enright, amazing. And then she sent another text in, Deirdre Edwards, Laura Enright. Very interesting. And I totally agree. Thank you, Deirdre, for listening.
Thank you, Deirdre.
Yeah. And then our mutual friend, Greg Liana, says, Pete, you like cigars? Not when I used to smoke them when we were where we used to write. All right. Greg thinks he's got this big gotcha moment. I don't, yeah. Greg smokes them every day. I'm not that guy. And I didn't mean to insinuate that I am. Laura, this is really fun.
It can be heady, though. It can be heady, though, when you're smoking a cigar and you're trying to concentrate.
Oh,
guy's
yeah.
Smoking a
and Greg smells like he smells like cigar smoke anyway. So I got the residual effect. Thank you so much, my friend. Let's do this again. Keep up the great work keep us posted on anything you're working on.
Hey, can I mention really quickly a score of author of a score?
Absolutely. We have about 20 seconds. Please,
okay,
though.
Doesn't get enough love. Ennio Morricone.
Who? Oh, yeah, I know
that. He did the spaghetti westerns.
Oh, no.
Clint Eastwood westerns?
Awesome.
Those scores are gorgeous. So yeah, I would check out the best of Ennio Morricone.
Thank Fantastic. You so much. Great, great choice,
great.
Laura. All right, have a great
Thank
night.
You,
Thanks
Pete.
So much. You're
All
very
right.
welcome.
Take care.
We're coming right back to wrap things up and read your text. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Fun show tonight. Thank you to Laura Enright for being here and discussing her vampire books. Thank you to Norm Kopeski. Enjoy Smoke on the Fox, everybody. Check it out if you're in the area. And, of course, Mary Bicorni Donlin, who did the popcorn pick of the week and suggested Sinners, and that was an excellent choice. I should also point out this is National Wisconsin Day, Conrad. What have you done to honor our fair state? You got a Brewers jersey on. That's something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm supporting the Brewers. I drove on Wisconsin roads.
Oh, well done. You're a taxpayer. We could close the show with.
You know what else?
Jump
I did?
Around.
I ate some cheese today.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I think that celebrates it. Right
Did you
there.
Eat cheese yesterday?
Well, yeah.
Every day is Wisconsin Day. Our question of the night, folks, was what is your favorite movie score? Christine from Slinger says, that's the 414, by the way. She says, Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber score. Excellent, Christine. There's some great music in that show. Lori from Hayward says, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Don't know if it's actually or per se. She said, don't know if it's actually score, but nonetheless, it's a classic. Lori, thank you. And that totally counts. Very well done. Lori also tried to correct herself. She said that was supposed to say, I didn't know it's actually score, but nonetheless, it's a classic, and I could not agree more. Jameson from Pennsylvania, he's in the 814, says, favorite score film, The Rocketeer. Very nice. The composer was James Horner. He was great, did so many movies, Titanic, Braveheart, Apollo 13, Field of Dreams, Avatar, and much more. Excellent choice, Jameson. I don't know. He's just one of those names. Those are great credits. All I remember was going to see The Rocketeer with Jimmy Pardo on the road, and I bought my ticket first. I said, one for The Rocketeer, and he went up behind me and said, one for Oscar, please, which was the Sylvester Stallone movie playing in the next theater. And it was a fun inside joke. All right, Janine from, Clint from Wanakee. That's the 608, folks, representing tonight. Tangerine Dream, the soundtrack for Thief with James Caan. That is an awesome choice, Clint. They did a lot of Michael Mann stuff. I think they did a lot of the music in Manhunter and maybe even Heat. Awesome choice. Bridget from the 818 says, Last of the Mohicans is my favorite. It captures the film's tone so well. The emotions the score evokes are the highlight of the film. And she's in cahoots with Norm from Appleton Cigar, who said the same thing, and I could not agree more. Last of the Mohicans is a great one. Steady Eddie weighing in. It's about time, Steady Eddie. Thought we missed you tonight. He says, my favorite movie score was from the movie Rudy. The score was Notre Dame 27, Georgia Tech 14. Yay, Rudy, go Irish. Steady Eddie. Do you remember the Rudy score?
Oh,
I remember that.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah, same. I didn't know that either. All right, turning to the text, we got to play catch up here. Dave says, Forrest Gump. That was the pregnant Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, that's a great one, Dave. The music throughout that movie is excellent. The songs and the score, that's a music phenomenon as a movie. He says, I think we should, Dave continues and says, I think we should do a Let's Dress Pete game. Either Conrad or the audience picks. This is probably because I made a joke about my Elton John sunglasses. Or yeah. Glasses. Why do we keep calling them sunglasses? And I had Norm sitting here. And, you know, I'm very comfortable with my masculinity. But Norm is like a dude. You see this guy? He's like stacked. He's like, stout, whatever they call it. He's got that voice.
And the beard.
And the beard. It would be great if he was like a high tenor falsetto.
Yeah.
Norm's all dude. That's awesome. And I was just making a joke. I love my Elton John glasses. They rule. Dave says, if you haven't, we were talking about urinals before, and Dave says, you haven't been to Wrigley and peed in a trough. That is even more animalistic.
You know, there's a bar I'd go to in Milwaukee that had that. And I was like, why is it hard to put a urinal in here?
I mean, it's just because, like, I don't know. I think urinals are weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's even weirder.
Especially without the dividers. I mean, I use them, whatever, but those troughs are like, here's what we think of you, gentlemen.
Well,
Whip them out and go to town. And Wrigley's weird, and I don't know if they had him at County Stadium or not, but I remember as a kid looking down and seeing like 30 dudes all being, you know, like you're a kid, just like, what is going on in here? Nick Wallander says, Let the Right One In is phenomenal. The original is great. The American remake is good, but loses some of the atmosphere. Nick is crushing it tonight. He's on like every single.
He is.
He's banging on all cylinders. Dave also says, I said that well before she did. Oh, that's funny. And then Greg Liena, closing things out, says, Abbott and Costello, Meet Frankenstein, great score. I remember that. That's a great movie. And I'm totally due for a rewatch on that one, Greg. If you have not seen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, it is an absolute classic and an absolute fun movie. Scary to a kid, anyway. I was scared. And I remember my buddy John Corwin, who's my dad's friend, really passed away about a week and a half ago, said when he watched Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, he was like 7 years old. It's a small town Wisconsin kid. He had a loaded shotgun under the couch. A 7-year-old. Like, it's funny the things you learn about people after they pass away. Like, such great stories that John has. Good stuff. Hey, thanks, everybody. It was really fun tonight. This was fun. We'll do it all again tomorrow night. We'll close out the week, hopefully, in positive fashion. Conrad, what do you foresee tomorrow night being like? We've got Bar Band Friday.
I think it's going to be a great Christmas day.
Because this is the Christmas Eve of weeknights. I totally agree. And happy Wisconsin. It's we are the 30th state, right?
Yeah, I believe
A state since like 1940. Yeah, the 30th state. Something like that. That's kind of cool.
In 1840.
Wisconsin's a dream. I came here as a kid all the time, and it was like the promised land. It was so much fun, and now to live here full time is pretty cool. And do you have something we can close that really shows our love? Oh. All right, folks, tomorrow night is Bar Band Friday night. Rocker filling in for Terry Barr. Film incentive advocate Rex Sykes and our pal Jimmy Cuska is going to talk about Andor, his favorite of all the Star Wars. We'll do that all tomorrow night. Again, on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.